Howdy, folks. Welcome to Solve This. I'm your host, Widget Walls, and this is a podcast slash panel show slash improv emporium for needcoffee.com. Now, we've talked about it on this show many times, how the world is a complicated place, and in no arena is it more complicated than that of love. And since this show is dedicated to solving problems for your amusement and dancing and dining pleasure, we figured the world could use some help on this number one day of the year when that bastard sniper Cupid starts to do his wet work. So, welcome to our Valentine's Day special episode! Now, to help solve an array of romantic problems, we have a panel of four expert problem solvers. They will be working out a variety of different problems, themed for the occasion, that I will be giving them. They will receive points based on creativity, ingenuity, originality, and adversity. Now, let's meet our panel. Because they are coming from a background of intensive romantic problem solving, I'm going to ask each of them to share with us a common Valentine's Day mistake and how one can avoid it. So first, let's start with John Boutel. John is the geek-in-chief at the Unique Geek website, is a podcaster, and the head technical consultant for most of the audiovisual bits that we have here on Need Coffee. So John, hi there.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. John, what is a caution that you could give our listeners about Valentine's Day?
Well, and I've had a couple of folks on my site write into me, telling me of different woes that they've had, and I've tried to, you know, help them out a bit. The one that sticks out in my mind is the gentleman who thought it would be cute to arrive at on a first date, first of all, on Valentine's, which, by the way, is probably always a bad mistake.
Mm.
As opposed to a good mistake, I suppose. Actually, I guess there are good mistakes. Anyway, moving on. He arrived in full Cupid garb. And I don't mean the cute diaper with bow and arrow thing. I actually mean, St. Nicholas, completely different guy. Which actually, I think, by the way, that would be a common mistake on Valentine's Day to show up dressed as Santa Claus. Unless you drive a white van. Yeah, so he arrived dressed as St. Valentine with entrails, is that how you pronounce it, right? Sticking out and his penis lopped off. So that was a mistake that he made appearing. And it's common, actually, apparently. I had like six people writing about that.
Well, thank you, John. If I sound distracted, it's because I'm having to remove the white van joke that I had scheduled for later in the script. All right. Next we move on to, JJ Hawkins. Hello, JJ.
Hello.
Hello. JJ can be found normally loitering at the website of Doom, contributing content and hosting the podcast known as Mars Needs Podcast. Now, JJ, I'm sure you have some necessary advice for people who are trying to avoid issues at this time of year.
Well, I have some advice for the fellas because, you know, we as men are trained to, you know, when we have a holiday coming up, we know our memories aren't that great. So we try to get it out of the way. You know, you shop for Christmas in September, you put it in a closet, you forget about it. So when December comes up, you go, oh, Christmas, but at least you have it there. You know, you get your anniversary present early. So that way when your wife reminds you on the day that you forgot your anniversary, you go, no, it's a surprise. But you cannot do that. With Valentine's Day flowers, fellas, you have to remember on the day. If you buy the roses 2 weeks early and put them in the closet, they don't have the same response when you pull them out.
That's a very cut. Now, JJ, you say that like someone who has experienced that problem personally.
Well, you know, my girlfriend and I have been dating for 20 years. And, I would say for as long as, you know, maybe you have a 75%, and, you know, in most sports, 75% of anything is fantastic, but 75% of remembering anniversaries, not so great. So you always have to plan. You always have to remember in the case of, I would say, remembering important dates as well as like the workplace, that you always have to plan on someone being a complete idiot. And that complete idiot is probably you.
That's very wise words. And extra credit for bringing statistics into this. But I was led to understand there would be no math. All right. Next, we have Need Coffee's own artist in residence and helper of many. It is Rox of Spaz House. Hello, Rox.
Hello.
Rox, how would you advise people to dodge a problem on Valentine's Day?
Well, as being a female, Valentine's is very easy for us. We just have to show up. With as little clothing on as possible. Okay. So you know, like I said, we don't really have to worry. We could go to a gas station, find a can of Simon Eyes, stick a heart on it. Here you go. And our guy, as long as you're wearing almost nothing, he'll think that Simon Eyes is the best thing going. That was best Valentine's gift ever. You know, as long as, you know, he remembers, you know, flowers or candy, which brings me to the point of helping you guys out. Here's my idea is, when you know February's coming up, use an app of a map and scope out the best gas stations that will sell roses or cheap flowers, because, you know, honestly, we really don't notice. Okay. You know, you can go, you could even go to Walgreens and they're open till 24 hours. You can run in, and I will tell you this as a shopper. They load that place up. So not to really say, you know, sell for Walgreens, but any of your, you know, pharmaceutical type places will help you out. It might be crap and you know you're paying twice as much for it, but if you're going to get laid that night, you're going to pay for it.
That's good advice, Rox. Thanks for that. And I just like to point out to the Simon Eyes people, you know how to get in touch. Last but not least, we come to internet content mercenary Aaron Poole. Hi, Aaron.
Hello, Widge.
Hello. Aaron is a contributor to the website of Doom, a site called Fred, and co-host of Cabin Fever. Aaron, pull the trigger.
Okay, so as many listeners to the show will know, I have a terrible memory. I often even forget what round we're playing as we're playing it. So remembering that it is Valentine's Day is the big problem. I'll often forget it's even happening. So I've solved this by staying single. And I'd like to say that this was a choice of mine, but in reality, it's kind of been forced upon me. But it works either way. I'm happy.
Was it forced upon you by the courts, perhaps?
Maybe it was that restraining order.
Yes. So
I'm a little bit too far away now to actually give them a card.
And the good news is that you've forgotten about the restraining order, but you still feel the need to stay away. Well, fantastic. The panel is assembled. Now, welcome them, you listeners at home, like you would if we had an actual studio, with applause, not like you would if they were trespassing in your backyard like they were last week. So, warm-ups are over. It's time to solve the problem that is round one. Now, this is a quick-fire round. I will offer up a problem to each of you in turn, and you simply respond with a sensible solution. Now, Aaron, we'll start with you. Aaron, you are at a key party, and you find yourself going home with Elizabeth Bathory.
Oh, shit, I have to Google this woman. Hold on.
Rox, would you like to tell him who Elizabeth Bathory was?
She would bathe in the blood of young virgins to stay young.
Okay, first of all, this woman died in like 1614, so I'm okay for not knowing her.
Allegedly. Allegedly died. After all, yeah. We don't know if the virgin blood worked or not.
Oh, I think I got a postcard from somebody named Battery.
She married a guy named Dorian, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
I get these strange Christmas cards.
So Aaron, assuming that she is alive, because I don't think you'd be leaving with a corpse from a key party unless it's that kind of party. Assuming she's alive, that is your problem.
Okay, well, you know, this girl is a little bit freaky. She likes to get down, so to speak. You know, she's a little bit goth, probably a bit too goth for my liking. But what I would probably do, because we all know, as we've had experience of being at Dragon Con, that all goth girls, their one true weakness, like their kryptonite, is Doc Hammer. Every single one of them use the control of their legs around that man. Now, I wouldn't say I'm a close friend of Doc Hammer, but I've spent some time in his company. And I think in the situation where I was stuck with Elizabeth, I would get a hold of Doc and just get him to walk by like a cat in the night. And she would lose all control of her limbs, and I would be free to leave at my pleasure.
Excellent. I'll give you 3 points for that, and a bonus point for referring to one of the most famous female serial killers in history as a little bit freaky. Rox, we'll move on to you. Rox, solve this. Letters from an admirer that you're really into turn out to be from inside a Supermax prison.
Wow. That's interesting because I wound up getting one time.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
I never do this, but one year, somebody came out with a Gigantor comic book, and I actually wrote a letter to the editor, and this Gigantor comic book came out in the late 90s. And I don't remember. I think the company actually printed my address in this comic book.
Oh dear.
And maybe 3 months later, I got a letter and it was like double wrapped or something. And it was from some guy who got the comic in jail. And nothing ever came of it, but you know, oddly, I did not keep it. I just sort of forgot about it. But, anyway, that's what I would do because, as a supervillain myself, I really can't fraternize with, people that got caught.
That's the lamest letter to Penthouse ever.
I don't care.
So Rox, very good. I'll give you 2 points and a bonus point for honestly, as I wrote that out, putting that by your name, I went, you know what? She's totally going to say that this happened. So 1 point for proving that I can predict the future. All right, John, let's move to you.
Yes.
John, you are trying to win back the heart of your girlfriend. You stand outside her window. You lift the boom box in the air. But instead of Peter Gabriel, you brought the wrong tape. It's Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Well, I, in fact, like big butts. I can't lie. The other brothers, you know, they'll deny. what do I do? Well, do what comes naturally, really. When she comes to the window on her third... by the way, my girlfriend I'm trying to win the heart back of it lives on the third story of a 28 story tenement. I guess you probably didn't know that, did you?
No, that was not in the script.
The key is that
our researchers did not know that.
Why
comedy is all in the details, folks.
Right, exactly. Why you need that level of detail, I'm not exactly sure. However, again,
what color is the tenement?
It's a gray with a blue like shutter type. There were like faux shutters on the outside of the windows.
Oh, no, that's funny. That's great.
I am nothing if not a comic genius. Or nothing. Anyway, when I'm playing Big Butts, of course, as Sir Mix-a-Lot often does. Does he have another song? I'm not quite sure. I will go ahead and strip down to my G-string. And, you know, the ladies, it may say that, you know, guys like big butts, but the ladies, they like no butts. So it works out well for me often. And that's how I win my lady back. Now, worst case scenario in that situation, the grandma that lives above her, I'm not above it. Betty White's hot. So there you go. Plus, you know, she probably has some cash. She's going to be gone shortly. So why not? What was the question again?
John, that's excellent. 3 points and a bonus point for...
oh my gosh, do you know? I'm sorry. I think Grandma upstairs is Madame Bathory.
Look, I'm not above it.
And a bonus point for not being above it. All right, JJ, this one's for you. JJ, you've discovered why the love of your life has birds suddenly appear every time that she's near. It's because she smells of earthworms.
Well, the nice thing is, I apparently went a little ghetto there. The nice thing about a girlfriend who smells like earthworms is, quite frankly, I live in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, earthworms are almost an aphrodisiac in this area. I mean, you can't go into a bar without somebody going, is that a nightcrawler? No. No, that's actually, I think that's bait. No, no, that is definitely Oda Nightcrawler 1973.
Oh, God.
And so, you know, it's good for me that I live in a ridiculously hippie town where that's okay. There's not really a problem because, you know, quite frankly, earthworms smell better than, say, patchouli or some of the strong sandalwoods that you get. In fact, you know, there's even a place down the street where you can get perfumes of grass and tomato. So, you know, earthworms kind of hot. And who doesn't like birds? Worms.
That's excellent. So JJ, we'll give you, 3 points there and then a bonus point for the fact that earthworms smell better than patchouli, which is true. All right. So excellent. That's round one. Let's do another similar round, but this time I'm going to give you a problem and I'm going to give you an obvious item that if you could use it would make it easier to solve the problem, but you can't use it to make it a little bit more interesting, make you think on your feet a little bit. So Rox, let's start with you. Rox, you have married a Nazi in Brazil. And you are trying to get at his secrets, but you fear that he and his mother may be secretly poisoning you. The item you cannot use to solve your problem is Cary Grant.
Oh, that's okay. Because honestly, he was a bastard in that film.
Yeah, true, true.
Wow, I'm being poisoned. Well, you know what? I will send a letter to Madame Bothery, who is on my Christmas card list, and tell her to swing by Brazil because, you know, things are hot and cool. You know, it's a fun place. There's horse racing. And I'll tell you one, and I can tell her that this Nazi's mom is really freaking hot. She would go for her. Honestly. So, by way of my friend in jail, I will send this letter off and, within short order, my friend, Madame Bothery, will be showing up and, you know, maybe we could do a threesome. It is Valentine's Day and then we can kill the mom off and I'll be unpoisoned.
Sorry. That's excellent. I think a solid 3 points there with a bonus point for saying that the antidote to most poisons is a threesome.
Yes.
I think most guys would agree with that. So JJ, let's move on to you.
Yes. Real quick, it does depend on the ratio.
This is true, and I'm sure there is an app that will help you with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was told there would be no more math.
That's a good point. All right. So JJ, this next one is for you. It involves no math. JJ, you are a terrible beast who is holding a beautiful girl captive and you need her to fall in love with you so the curse can be broken. The item you cannot use to help you solve this, musical numbers.
That's too bad. Music soothes the savage beast. well, okay.
And rings the savage bell.
Yes. Well, okay. I'm not going to go so far as to say that, you know, I am a beast, but I can come from the perspective of what it's like to woo someone from being oversized and quite hairy. And so I know what worked for me. And, so I'm going to suggest that, I'm going to hang around the house and be kind of sullen and keep to myself. I'll wear a lot of black, you know, and basically by ignoring this beautiful woman that I want to woo, I'll be in turn drawing her close to me. And every time that she attempts to get close to me, you know, I'll kind of, you know, conveniently blow her off until one day, she just cannot stand the unbridled sexual tension anymore. And so we get that first kiss of love, and then she finds out that I'm still no longer a beast, but a fairly large, hairy guy.
well, that, JJ, thank you for that. I will give you 3 points, I believe. And I think there's a bonus point in there as well for an inevitable type ending. It felt like fate. Aaron, this next problem is for you. You and the love of your life have gotten together at last following a musical number at a affair involving some black and leather and stuff. You are about to drive off into the sky singing while you go. Maybe you're the one who stole JJ's musical numbers. Who can say? but the item you cannot use is petrol.
Wait, but what's the problem?
The problem is you're about to drive off into the sky. You need to drive off into the sky to complete your...
Oh, I need to drive off into the sky, but I have no petrol.
Yes.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, as once, well, probably more often than once, has been sung with passion and lots of hair and hairspray. For, well, a few different things. One, love lifts us up where we belong. Also, as well, the power of love is a source from above. And then also, on the wings of love, may we fly away. I think love in itself will be its own fossil fuel. And I think basically instead of like, it would be like the DeLorean. Remember when the DeLorean was like, you know, you suddenly, Doc Brown like threw cans and, you know, banana skins into, actually, I'm going to change. I'm going to get DeLorean. Fuck it. Fuck love. I want a time machine. screw this. I was going to go with a nice, you know, hey, let's love each other and we can fly off on the power of love. But fuck that balls. I want to fly back to 1950, marry my mom, and just have the most weirdest fucking babies ever seen. No. That's my answer.
Holy.
History explained.
I lost track of how many points were there, Aaron. I know you got at least one or two bonus points for somehow going from eco-friendly to basically saying what every geek has thought at some point in their life, fuck love, I want a time machine, and then ending up with Oedipus. So that's, again, startlingly not what I anticipated from that question. All right, so, John, last one is for you.
Oh, goody.
Yes. John, here is your problem. Solve this. You are confronted with someone who wants to know what love is, and they want you to show them. The items you cannot use in doing so, however, you cannot use either PowerPoint or mime.
Wow, you took out my two biggest hitters. And
I know, I know.
Because my PowerPoints have gotten the ladies wet since, you know, early 1990s. Shoot.
Maybe my problem.
I'm the creepy one, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, but I was just thinking that my problem was I should have used that instead of freelance graphics then.
Can I use the, oh God, that would involve using an Apple product. Never mind. well, what I will do is I will contact Aaron. He will loan me his time machine. I will go back to the time that he went back in time to and just basically peer through the window of Aaron and his mom getting it on. I will show them by virtue of a, you know, like I like to teach my kids, showing them what the wrong way of doing things is.
Oh, God.
That therefore anything else must be right. Though really, if it feels good, is it really that wrong? I'm not sure I answered your question, but see, really, honestly, it wasn't fair. Taking mime and PowerPoint away just kind of.
That's true. That's true. It was a bit of an unfair question. So
pie chart really.
Really? You could use puppets.
Let's not bring puppets into a scenario in which John's watching through the window at Aaron and his mom going at it.
Listen, I know we're not at that round where we tell each other how they should have done it, but all I'm saying is interpretive dance. Done.
Well, I really need the pie to get to the pie. I need the pie charts to get to the pie is what I'm saying.
Ladies.
Yes. So we have ended those rounds with a bombshell. So at the end of those rounds, let me tally up the scores, and I can tell you that we have in an unassailable third place, Rox with 7 points. She is just behind John and JJ, tied for second with 8 points, and Aaron is in the lead with 10 points.
It's the mother loving that got me there, right?
I think so.
I don't trust Rox being behind me.
That's okay.
Well, you know, you're supposed.
I can see what's ahead of me.
It's always good to say, get thee behind me, Rox. All right, so for ongoing rounds, we are going to need buzzers. And we are recording this over Skype, full disclosure, which means that buzzing in is a problem. They don't have a buzzing system that works. But never fear, we have problem solvers united here with us. And I'm sure you have brought your own buzzers to the table to help us out with this. So let's hear your buzzers then. Aaron, what do you have?
I have what my rock piano accurately describes as a saxophone.
That is That is a Cylon fart, is what that is.
I believe that's a sexophone.
But it is Valentine's Day. Rox, what have you got?
This is my love bell.
are there suitors lining up outside your door now?
Yeah, there's two.
Okay, good. John, what have you got?
Well, in the spirit of the podcast. True love.
Brilliant. And JJ, what have you got?
Well, since I was thinking this was the special to sort of wrap up season one, I used my same sound effect I've been using for all of season one to solve this.
Ah, good. So, but hey, look at it this way, JJ. You could just say that you're playing doctor. It is Valentine's Day.
Hey.
Hey. All right. So we have some points awarded, and I'll tell you about them later. All right. Now, on to round three. Those buzzers are going to come in handy. It is a not as quick fire round in which players can buzz in on each other's answers. So once the answer is given, give the person who's been given the question a little bit of time to get some words out. But once the answer is given, you can buzz in for one of three reasons. If you feel there is a problem your colleague has not foreseen, if you think you have a better altogether solution, or if you can argue for why it's not actually a problem. So, John, let's start with you. John, you go to pick up your girlfriend for your first date, and her father is seated in the living room cleaning his coach gun.
Oh, it's one of those times. Well, I mean, the most obvious direct approach would be to go out to my car, bring in my my Glock, exchange gun stories. Perhaps show him the tattoos that I have on my arm, the piercing that I put through my unmentionables. Why am I ashamed to say where it's through? I don't know. You know, tell him that I'll have his wife home. I mean, his daughter home.
We're back to the threesomes again, aren't we?
My daughter may hear this at some point in her life.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. JJ.
Well, what I'm wondering is why he had to go out to his car. Why would he have left the Glock in the car knowing that his girlfriend lives in the third story of a tenement building?
Well, because I am nothing if not chivalrous. I am a man of a classical upbringing where you don't necessarily bring a gun with you all the time. It's inappropriate. Instead, you bring a knife.
Ah.
But I saw the gun, so I figured, you know, he was a gun man. I'm a gun person. So I went back down to my car to get my gun. Then I left the knife there.
I think Rox got in first.
I heard that you now can get firearms through private sales. So what you should have done, forget the Glock. What you should have done was to go on Craigslist and look for the person that has a 50 millimeter sniper rifle that could take out a helicopter. And I believe that would, in an arms race, that would be your future, maybe father-in-law or, you know, something in the future would really, really respect you if you said, oh, hey, Dad, look at the toy I have.
Aaron, what were you going to say?
Well, I think John's answer still makes him a kind of an aggressor, a rival, someone who would still rile up the dad. I think an easier way to calm down the situation would be busting to the room wearing a pink shirt going, oh my God, honey, is that a rifle in your pocket or are you just happy to see me? Me and your daughter are totes besties. We're going to have a great night tonight at Greece. Now, if you do that, I'm pretty sure the dad won't be worried about his daughter anymore.
Yeah, yes, John, buzzing back in on yourself. What?
Well, I wasn't sure if it was handed over.
No, you're fine.
How do we play this game again? The
I don't know.
The one time that was attempted in my life when I attempted that, again, didn't go over so well. He was not a friend of the rainbow flag, shall we say? So I don't know that necessarily would work out every time. I always think that's best to...
Yeah, yeah, yes, Aaron.
Glitter bomb, motherfuckers.
All right, fair enough.
All right, we'll call time on that one. I've given out points, and I will say that there's a bonus point there for John for mentioning The Unmentionables, which is my favorite Sean Connery film. And a bonus point to Rox for anticipating that at one point the father-in-law would be in a helicopter. So, well played. Rox, the next one is actually for you.
All right.
The next one is you really like this guy, and he's brought you a dozen roses. The poor fool, you're allergic to roses.
Oh, wow. I like him, really. I really like this guy.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay.
So killing him is not an easy way out, which you would normally say, Rox.
No. Wow, if I really like him, I'm the kind that I really don't get offended by, you know, items that will die really, really quick. I like the slow death. Flowers kind of die pretty quick. All right. So honestly, it's no big deal, you know. So what I will do, I said, you know, I will say, you know, I am allergic, but what we could do, just so you don't feel bad, we'll take these over to some old age home. And we can watch the slow death together.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Someone buzz in, for God's sake. Aaron.
I'm confused. I know Rox is allergic to the roses, but why is she eating them?
JJ, yes.
I don't really have anything to say there, but that's so wrong. I mean, I know there are no wrong answers in this show, but that's just wrong.
No, there are lots of wrong answers. It's just some are more wrong than others.
Yeah, that's probably even illegal in several states.
Rox would be able to tell you which states.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
When she said slow death, I just expected her to shove a hobo in the guts.
That's why I said she really liked the guy. So otherwise, it would have been a really quick question. Oh, God. All right. I'll call time on that one then. That is a good point. Kids, don't eat roses. Thank you, Aaron. So, JJ, we'll move on to you.
Okay.
JJ, you can take us away from this dark place. So, JJ, let's see what you make of this one. As a denizen of the DC Comics universe, you find yourself in the new 52, younger, angrier, and without the love of your life, who didn't make the transition to the new book.
Well, the thing with DC is that we all know that, sure, the love of my life didn't make it across, but all I have to do is wait. And not that that's a very interesting story, but the truth is, you give it another year and my girlfriend slash wife slash, kid sidekick will be back. But I don't really think that I have a year to wait. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and just punch a hole in the side of reality. It's been done before. We know it's pretty easy. So, you know, at this point, I figure that's about as easy as opening a bank account in the DCU.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think Rox got in first.
I did. She'll show up dead in Vertigo. And you can watch the slow death there.
That never stops anything in Vertigo. Just because she's dead, the romance goes.
I know. There you go. I'm helping you out.
Oh, God. Yes. John, you were harping.
I'm sorry. There is actually an easier, much more fun solution.
Yes.
Just go find Starfire.
Yes, Aaron.
She'll sleep.
I would like to offer a title for John's solution.
Yes.
Called Crisis on Infinite Orgasms.
And she'll forget about every single one of them.
Oh, God.
Starfire is such used goods, though.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah, well. So?
Wow, you just brought the show down.
Sorry.
I'd like to point out that Rox just said that you brought the show down. Wow. Oh, God. All right. All good answers. All good answers. I'll call time on that one. And Aaron, this last one is for you. Aaron, solve this. Love Songs by Celine Dion.
Dear God, good luck.
Oh, wow. I think I'll take a second on this one. Okay. Well, this year is the 100th anniversary of the Titanic. Because of this, we're also getting the Titanic in the cinemas again. Or theaters, if you want to be American. And wrong. So I feel like I think it would be a very fitting end but one that would also be used as part of the celebrations, would be to raise what's left of the Titanic. And as she sings to this, you know, this great removal from the sea, her heart does go on. We shove the wreckage up her arse until she explodes. Thus providing what I think is a real grandstand finish.
Yes, rocks.
Madame Bathory was on that ship, and she has that heart.
Yes, John.
Yes, I would actually like to suggest Rox's earlier suggestion, which would be getting a high-powered sniper rifle. really taking care of the job permanently.
Well, it's quick and direct.
The problem with Aaron's solution is we have to hear freaking Celine Dion sing one more time.
That's a good point. Yes. Oh, well, JJ got in. Yes.
Well, I had a solution for that, too. If we go back to Aaron's other solution and we get the DeLorean and the rifle, then we just go back and, you know, put a cap in Mama Dion's. I can't even remember her name all of a sudden. Dion.
Well, let me just point out before I get to you, Rox, that it's fascinating. You're getting a bonus point there, JJ, because the reason perhaps why you couldn't think of her name is because she had already started to disappear from reality because you'd made it happen. Rox, yes.
I was going to say, everybody knows that Dion is actually a Cylon.
Well, it sounds alike. Aaron, what have you got?
Well, just as a side tidbit, little known fact, the alternative title to that Doctor Who episode was actually Let's Kill Celine Dion.
Cylon Dion.
Oh, God.
Cylon Dion, yeah. I don't know why I stuttered over that one.
Oh, God. Yes, John, I think you harped in.
Oh, well then, assuming that she is a Cylon, which, I guess, yeah, she is without emotion mostly, so I guess that's true. Then I would just challenge her to a game of tic-tac-toe. War games, anyone? Wow.
Dion, shall we play a game?
Now, can I suggest, actually, can we kill Celine Dion with that small little death that we just had a second ago of John's joke?
Weapons went off.
Oh, wow. We'll call time on that. And John, I'm actually surprised that you were going for tic-tac-toe and not the thermonuclear warfare option. bonus point instead for restraint.
The solution to the... Never mind.
So the scores stand as follows. We have in a strong third place, tied are JJ and Rox with 17 points apiece. We have in surging forward to second place, we have John with 19 points. And just out ahead of him is Aaron with 20 points. It's anyone's game.
It was me going to the dark place, wasn't it?
I don't like it when John's surging behind me.
That wouldn't be the first.
I killed the game.
Oh, God. All right. So now we're moving on to round four. Now, round four is our group round. Here's how it works. You will be given a complicated problem to solve. As part of your solution, you should mention someone else you're going to contact for help. Now, at that point, I will say freeze, and I will assign that role to someone else on the panel. You must then work together to solve the problem. Please note, as always with this round, in order to try to coax you towards an actual solution, bonus points will be given if you can actually work towards a resolution instead of utter and complete apocalypse. Now, Rox, we will start with you. Rox, here is your situation. You have agreed to meet your love atop the Empire State Building. But just as you arrive, who should get there first but King Kong?
Wow. This big guy. Wow. So... he's already up on top of the... I guess he's already on top of the Empire State Building.
He arrived shortly after you did.
Oh, so I'm up there too.
Yes.
Oh damn.
Thank God she said Empire State Building after that.
Okay, so I'm up there with the big guy. You know what? I never really cared for King Kong, to be honest with you. Mm. My first love really is... A little known, smaller ape named Mighty Joe Young.
Nice.
So I'm going to call up Joe because Joe likes me. Mighty Joe. I'm going to call up Mighty Joe.
Okay, freeze.
Just
Aaron, you are Mighty Joe Young. Rocks, make the call.
Hello?
Joe? Ook?
Ook. Joe! Joe, it's me, Rocks.
Ook.
I have bananas. There is a Ook. Rival for my affection.
Ook.
Come to the Empire State Building. You're only a few blocks away. I have bananas and souvenirs.
Freeze, we'll assume that Mighty Joe Young has arrived on the scene, and JJ, you will be King Kong. Go.
Ook.
Joe, don't be offended by the size. Here's a 50 caliber sniper rifle you could use.
Ook, you told me it was good size. Ook.
It is a good size. It has hollow tip points.
Matters. I fought Godzilla once. I'm not afraid of you, little monkey.
All right, freeze. I think at this point we should have someone else enter the scene. John, you should play Godzilla, and you arrive on the scene, invoked by King Kong mentioning you. Go.
Hey, Godzilla, check out this little monkey that's trying to beat up my toe. I tell you what.
Joe, here's another round. I've got at least 50 shells.
I tell you what, Godzilla, you chomp off the rod, I'll eat the monkey, and let's destroy this whole town. Nom, 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 nom.
Ook, 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 ook.
Smash.
It's time. Wow. Again, the law of unintended consequences. I'll give bonus points for that one because it's really no one's fault. That was a no-win situation. Apocalypse. There's no way it was going to be avoided. And Aaron, you get a bonus point because to paraphrase a famous romantic scene, you had me at ook. Let's go with Aaron. Aaron, here is your situation. You met a girl on the train and you like this girl, but you did the cliched thing of blowing your nose into her phone number. You know she's the one. How do you track her down?
Okay. Now, see, the weird thing is that these days, because we all have mobile phones, I took her phone number into my phone. So the fact that I blew my nose into my phone and lost her phone number is quite unusual.
You have very magnetic snot.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's I've gone through those metal detectors too many times at the airports. Okay, so my phone is obviously broken. And I need to find this girl. What I need to do is crap. What do I need to do? This is a tough one. Oh, I know. I will call Google, because if you want to find anything these days, you got to search on Google. So what I'll do is I will actually, because my phone is broken, and I can't actually, like, you know, search on Google on my phone. I'll just pop into the nearest Google store and
excellent.
Ask a member of customer services.
Excellent. Freeze, JJ, you will be the Google technician that is at the Google store. And so Aaron has walked in and is walking up to you with a destroyed phone. Ready, go.
Hey, welcome to Google.
Hi. Wow, I really must have gotten off the wrong stop at the bus station. Okay. So, I this is my phone. I snotted into it by accident. And apparently, I am the long lost son of Magneto, and it just fucked it up. So, I really need to get this girl's phone number. Now, I know you guys are good at, like, you know, internet searches and stuff like that. If I kind of describe her to you, do you think you'd find her?
Well, how about let's try this? I got a good number for you. Have you tried 8675309?
What's that number?
It's Jenny.
Who's Jenny?
She's the one at 8675309.
I am totally confused. Okay.
Okay, it's a you don't get. That's fine.
No.
Tommy Two Tone was a musician in the 80s. It was a one-hit wonder.
They didn't have that in Ireland.
I was born in 1983. Nice to meet you, JJ.
That's no place. Just because you can't find something on the internet doesn't mean that it's a reference that is not necessarily valid.
Well, spoken like Google. God.
You, sir, are an excellent customer services person, and I will recommend you to your manager as doing a good job today. However, fantastic. I'm still trying to find this girl.
All right, freeze. John, let's have you come in as the manager at this point. Not necessarily because anything's wrong, but just to throw another bit of chaos on the fire. Go.
This is why we never win these rounds, Widge. Okay. Hi, Mr. Manager Person. What's your name?
Yeah, oh, my name's Bob.
Okay, hi, Bob. I was just dealing with Redneck here, and while very helpful, he was spouting a bunch of odd references I've never heard of, and it's not really getting me to the point that I need to do. I need to find...
Sir, his name is Rodnick.
Oh, sorry. I read his name tag wrong. I apologize. I'm kind of in a panic here because I'm really excited about this girl. She was really nice, but I have no way of contacting her. I snotted into my phone. Is there any way you can help me?
Have you tried dialing 8675309?
Oh my god. It's like a broken record, but a record I've never heard of.
It's the top search result at Google. Search for a woman's name, telephone number thing.
Sorry, Rodnick, what were you trying to say there?
I have an idea. Okay, give me the numbers that you can make out of the phone, and I will try to filter it through my Google brain.
Okay, I will see what I've got here. Okay. I have this kind of green, gloopy thing that could be an 8.
Okay, 8. Okay, I'm looking for answers. Porn, porn, pirated music, porn, YouTube video, and Sarah.
Okay, Sarah might be it. Although, can we go back to the porn thing later on?
Sure, I even have porn with Sarah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's not a black guy in there, is there? Because I don't think I can follow that shit up.
No, it's a big hairy beast. Look a little like a monkey.
Oh, shit. It's not Mighty Joe Young, is it?
Mighty Joe Hung, I believe, was the name of the movie.
Ah, okay. Well, what I'll do is... I don't know if I want to call her anymore now. I search her Facebook page to see if I can find any information there. If I look her up on Facebook, will I...
Facebook page. Porn?
Is she in a relationship right now?
May I make a suggestion?
You're still here. Okay, hi. Okay, yeah, sure.
I prefer that you use Google Plus.
Okay, understandable. I get it. I am in that, you know, area, I guess. So, okay, we'll see if she has a Google Plus profile.
Oh, does she work for Google?
No.
Well, she won't have a Google Plus profile.
Okay.
No, actually, she does, but nobody's seen it in about 6 months.
Oh, wow. I may never see her for 6 months if the way this is going. I really need to find out where she is.
Facebook page.
Well, like, freeze. What, Rox, I'd like you to enter the scene, and right. You are Jenny. Go.
So are we going to find her on Facebook or what's happening?
Here she is. Here's her page on Facebook. It says that she's in a relationship with someone named Jenny.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes, and her phone number is 8675309. Have you memorized that yet?
I haven't, surprisingly. It's almost like I've never heard it before in my life. But I guess I'll do my best, because I can't take it down because my phone's broken. Oh, hello.
Help. If you would have just, you know, you don't know who to turn to, but let's just turn to you.
For a good time call.
Jenny, here she is.
Hello, this is Jenny.
Well, Jenny, you're a little bit younger than I was expecting you to be.
It's the baths that I get.
I'm just wondering if like, because sometimes when people on Facebook, when they're friends, they like to pretend they're in a relationship together because like they're best buds and stuff. I was just wondering if you're actually really in a real like a loving relationship with Sarah, or if you're just buds.
So many young women, yes. I
well, so you're a bit of a whore, Jenny.
He got your number on her wall.
Jenny, can I point out that I have tried to call you before, but I lost the nerve.
That's okay, sweetie. That's okay. So are we going out? Are we going to go out?
If you can introduce me to Mighty Joe Hung.
That's doable.
Time.
I heard he's doable.
Time. I have to admit, I never thought that Elizabeth Bathory would become the theme of this episode, but well done.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
So much of that round went over my head.
I hope that does never change the number. I would like to say, go on the record as saying that I am offended at what you made the Google employee sound like.
Are you talking to yourself, John?
Well, I don't with it because JJ, I was yes anding, that's all.
Oh, I see. Yes anding. Blame it on the yes and. All right, so moving on to you, John. This is for you.
Oh, hello.
Hello. You're ready to go and pick up your date. Now, come to think of it, maybe this is a prequel to your previous question, but your car is not working. You instead have to ask your dad to borrow his car, which is the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Wow. Oh, man, I'd date you for that.
Problem solved.
Ding.
the lesson, kids, ladies like big wieners.
Oh, God. With four-wheel drive.
Don't we all have that?
I know. Anyway, no, not letting you off that easy, John.
Aw.
Try. Good try, though.
I helped.
All right. So, I guess the first person I have to call is my dad. Dad?
Oh.
Dad?
Okay. Then freeze. Let's see. Well, Aaron. Aaron, you can play John's dad. This should be good. Go.
Hello, son.
Dad? Yeah, I had, I went to go start my DeLorean, and it won't start up. The needle stuck in 88, but it just won't turn over. I know that you've told me before that I can't. I got this.
Speak
date
from the heart, son. Your words will ring true.
I got this date with this hot chick named, her last name's Bathory, I think. and I really, really want to go. And, you know, between you and me, Dad, I think this might be the time that I actually, you know, lose it. You know what I mean?
Your car keys?
No. Dad, I thought that we had an open relationship where I could talk to you about anything.
Well, no, only me and your mother have an open relationship, son. But anyway, tell me what you'd like to know. Is there any advice or what would you like me to do for you?
I want to borrow your wiener.
You've liked the look of my hot rod, have you? Yeah, I can understand.
Fortunately, I think that this girl is like really into, you know, that.
Wieners, yeah.
That's not what I meant. She likes, being in, and on.
The backseat, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, well, I'm hoping that if you can let me borrow it, that I can, you know, maybe be my, you know, thing, stuff.
Well, you know, son, I've got a few rules first before I'll let you hop in the old bun wagon.
Ask Mom, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, son, we'll get to that in a moment because I have a bit of a revelation to let you know about your mother. But first of all, I want you to make sure that you're safe. You use precaution. Put the seatbelt on.
Okay.
I also want to make sure that you put enough lube in there. That hot rod needs some oil. And last if not least, don't rock her too much. Suspension's a bit iffy. But what I would say to you is that you were talking about your DeLorean before. You like that car, huh? You use it a lot?
Yeah.
Well. Well, you know this girl. You know you met her from driving in your DeLorean. You kind of went back in time a little bit. This Elizabeth, yeah. Well, yeah. I need to tell you something, son. Elizabeth is the name of your mother.
Freeze. Rox, I think you see where this is going.
Yep.
Into the scene as the mom, and God help us all. Go.
Hey, honey, I've let them know about what's happening here.
Oh, like what, honey?
I don't care. He said something about you having the same name as my girlfriend.
Oh, well, you know, there's lots of Elizabeths. There's Queen Elizabeth. There's Elizabeth Howard. All sorts of Elizabeths. What is it?
honey, what did you actually say to our son?
But well, let's be honest. When you first met me, you said I turned you on so much that you wanted me to do me in two generations.
Yes, and you actually brought, you know, so much life back into me too. There was that I was suffering a slow death, and you know, your essence is so wonderful, and you know,
Mom.
You do sound a bit like my girlfriend, and.
No, I don't, because she sounds like this. So, I heard her on the radio, you know, when you were on the phone, and she sounds nothing like me, because she has a deeper voice.
Honey, do you remember when you used to say that her son looked an awful lot like your ex-boyfriend?
Oh, Vlad? No, not really.
Mom?
No.
Mom, you also sound a bit like the gingerbread man from Drury Lane.
No, not the Drury Lanes. No, on Birch Street, really.
Your mother makes her money from doing Mickey Mouse impersonations. You know that, son. Do not judge where your money comes from. This place has a roof over your head.
That's right. I brought you into this world, and God knows I really can take you out.
Mom, I'm going to call my buddy Steve real quick to come over and help. Maybe he can get my car going.
Freeze. All right, JJ, you are Buddy Steve, and John, make the call.
It was on vibrate.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Steve. It's me, Elizabeth. Remember, we went out a couple times.
Awkward.
Son, I probably should have told you that, well, your mother looks a little bit like your girlfriend. She's also a bit of a whore.
Mom?
What? It's an open relationship, you know.
Well, did you get the weenie mobile or not? We got places to be.
I was trying to get in, and I found out that you were giving my mom the weenie mobile.
That was a long time ago. That was back when I was a virgin. She's into that weird, freaky blood play. Look, what? Mr. Father Guy, can we get the weenie mobile? I'm really responsible.
Oh, honey, hey, let him have the vehicle. If you want, I'll chaperone.
I don't just give my weenie to anybody, okay? I'm selective.
Look, I guarantee we will make sure the weenie is wrapped. As soon as we stop, we'll put the car cover back on it.
Well, you know what, son? You look a lot like Doc Hammer. And I like Doc Hammer. And I feel like you're safe enough to give the car to.
Cool. Let's go cruise for goth chicks.
Oh, I know where you can find some.
Time.
Got the car.
Yes. So, yes, bonus points all around for actually solving the problem.
Oh, yeah, that's what the problem was, wasn't it? I don't know. I thought I had so many other problems to deal with.
Now, yes.
Which problem is it?
It's
you know how we are on this show. We get sidetracked by incest.
Oh, that's Series 2's tagline, in the bag. All right, so that brings us to the final bit of chaos here. JJ, this one starts with you. And I'm going to go ahead and assign some roles. You'll see why in a moment.
Okay.
JJ, you are God. Adam and Eve are down in the Garden of Eden and are not interested in each other. Unless you can get them going, so to speak, no other Valentine's Day will mean anything. And of course, that would mean that John, you're Adam. Rox, you're Eve, and God, JJ, help us all. Go.
Oh, look, Adam, I found these lovely shoes.
I'm sorry, you were talking to me again? Bitch.
You know, I buy something really nice. I got these shoes. The least you could do is show a little bit of interest. Gosh, you know, and I've been brushing my hair for like 2 hours.
Eve, you must listen to me.
Is that Elvis?
Eve, I am your God. I am your God and Savior.
Oh.
You must listen to me.
Adam always says he's the God and Savior.
I want you to do it with that guy.
But you know, his thing has a slight bend. Can you do something about that?
I want you to do it with that guy.
Are you gonna watch?
I like to watch.
Hey, chick.
What? I have a name.
Whatever. I heard what you said to the man upstairs there.
I have shoes.
Excuse me. I'm talking now. A man is talking. Are you not aware of what times we're in right now?
I'm walking over here.
Oh. You know, he made me in his image. You understand that?
I don't really. Oh, my gosh. I think I see Lilith. See you later.
Wait.
Adam.
Yeah, man. What's up?
To me, it's God. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Lilith. How are you? Oh, do you want to get it on?
Men are talking and one of them is your God.
Sorry. I think Lilith was the first one to like diss you, Mr. God. Hey, Lilith. Oh. It's me, Eve.
Okay. Well, I guess that means, Aaron, you're Lilith.
Okay. And watch how I destroy this in one go.
Bold talk. All right, go.
Hey, Lilith.
Eve, check out my DeLorean. Let's go to the future. We've got dildos and porn and everything. It's going to be much better.
Oh, sounds great. Look at my cool shoes for the future. Let's go.
I've had it.
All right.
There is no DeLorean. There is no shoes.
God.
Damn it. I was too late again. Okay. Adam?
Yeah, dude. What's up?
Okay. I made a mistake last time. We shouldn't have built her out of your toe. Give me a rib.
Man.
No, I need a rib. Just give me one rib. We'll start all over. Nobody has to know about this.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. This rib is useless. Here, take that one.
Okay, here. Okay, here you go. Here, we'll name this one Eve. That was a good name.
Can you make her in the summer?
I like Eve.
All right.
I am your God. I like the name Eve.
All right. All righty. Whatever you do, dude. Yeah, fine.
Okay. Okay, here's the new Eve.
Something in this place besides apples. Dear God. I mean, dear you.
Do you like pina coladas?
I
like walks in the rain.
I do, in fact. And, I mean, yeah.
Well, because if you two can like pina coladas and like walks in the rain, I'm pretty sure you can make love at midnight.
Oh.
Now therefore, saving the human race. Otherwise, we'll have no Cain and Abel, we'll have no murder, and it will go nowhere.
All right. But can you give me a bigger schlong?
Oh, wow! Okay, now that you got a bigger schlong, go win the woman, and let's save creation.
All right, if we gotta do it, we gotta do it.
I'm Summer's Eve.
Oh, God! Oh. Time!
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Oh, well.
I personally thank Rox for taking the ball and running with it at the end.
Oh, God. I had anticipated bringing the snake back, but there was more snakes to be had in that scene. Sorry, Aaron, you can reprise your role later.
Elizabeth Bathory in the future.
This is like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen as it should have been written. Okay, so. All right, so that brings us to the end of that round and the end of the show. And if I take a moment or two to total up the scores, I see that we've got math words. All right, tied for second place. We have a three-way tie.
Hey.
Between, yes, that's right. And I'm sorry, what do threesomes fix again?
Everything.
Good. All right, good. Then therefore, you guys will be pleased to know that John, Aaron, and Rox, you guys are tied with
chicken brown
38 points.
I was robbed.
Wrong ratio.
Sorry, you're out of the threesome party.
But I must say that JJ surged ahead with 40 points, and we say, JJ, you are the Valentine's Day special winner.
I would say I may have the most points, but the three-way wins.
Right, because you know what? We have a 50-millimeter.
Yes, I do. Wait, no, that's not very big.
And before we start another scene involving a sniper rifle fetish, which we'll save for series two, I will say thank you for listening to Solve This. If you have a problem that's been bothering you and you'd like to present it to a panel of experts for the amusement of the entire universe, then send that problem in an email to solvethis@needcoffee.com. Until next time, on behalf of Aaron Poole, JJ Hawkins, Roxas Spazhouse, and John Boutel, this is me, Widget Walls, saying goodbye. So, Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now, you know, it may have been a three-way as a tie, but in a three-way, someone always finishes first.
Ba-dum-bum.